The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast, episode 684. I'm joined by Peter.
Hello.
Steven.
Hiya.
You all right, lads? How's the week been? Yeah, good for you? Yeah?
All right, yes.
Yeah, cool. Yep. All right. I've got to say, I've got a bit mad on Friday just buying shares. It's nuts. I was being quite disciplined. I had a bit of cash on the side there. I'd sold a bit. And I was just sick of sitting on the side like, waiting for news on certain stocks, you know? And I thought, oh, I'm going to jump in and have a little punt on a couple. Yes!
I hope you did your research.
Yeah, well, you know, I knew some. I've interviewed some of them, and I knew some of them. So I thought, yeah, and I've seen a bit of hotness around, and I've looked into some, and I thought, I'm just going to buy, you know. And a couple of them went up straight away after buying, which was quite nice. It's always nice when that happens, isn't it? If you buy something, it just goes up. And you think,
I don't
wow.
know what that means. No, I've never heard
it. Is it the way with Steve? He buys and drops it. Oh, no. Buy some more, drops any more. Steve's buying. Everyone sell. Everyone sell. Steve's in the market. He's buying 3 pence worth.
So have you sold today as well?
No, I didn't sell. No, I just bought.
So you're not a dirty trader.
No, I tell you why. Right, I didn't take part in the Zenith Energy placing, and it did very well on Friday. It's been creeping up Thursday, Wednesday. I spoke to Andrea Catania, is CEO Presidente of Zenith Energy, and live from the London Stock Exchange, and. You know, the company has potential. Market cap was 8 million, and they're already producing 300 barrels a day of oil. That is likely to go up with a workover to about 1,000 barrels a day. So you do the math on that, you know, and they're making and that's low margin. I mean, they're making it, their operating costs are around about $18 a barrel and less once they up their, once they work the wells over. And so I started creeping. I thought, so I get in. I did. And then on the Friday, it really started shooting up. I thought, oh, I missed out here. Then I saw that Gunsind, who's an investment company, and I've interviewed them on the podcast, have over £500,000 worth of shares in Zenith Energy. And they bought them in the placing at 7 pence. And so what do you think about it, right? So Zenith was up at, 9, almost 10 pence, right? They'd bought £500,000 shares, and they got a market cap of 1.5 million. And I thought, hang on a sec. That's, and a couple of things they owned, other things they owned, Georgia Mining and all that, and the share price wasn't moving. So I thought, that's it. This is worth, you know. They're worth it. Do the math on that, you know. £500,000, right? So they've made 250,000 pretty much in a couple of days. And their market cap is only, you know, 1.5. And they've got a couple of other investments in Alba Minerals, which is, of course, holds a stake in the Brockenfield, and Georgian Minerals, Georgian Mining Corporation. And I thought, I'm going to have a little go here. Yeah. And it shot up as well. It shot up. Then they send another RNS out and it came back down. And I thought, oh, okay. But that's that.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
But no, I think really undervalued as yet. Like I said, they are still 1.5 million. They've already made. They've already made, you know, a $250,000 on Zenith, pretty much. Or, you know, so net asset value is going up, and they've also done well on, you know, it's got Georgia Mining Corporation has gone up. So they've done a couple of investments did go up, but it's not reflected in their share price. And I think sooner or later it's got to be, you know. So it's GUN is a ticker, GUN, and you know, every now and again, if you know something about a little stock, then and you've because it's on my watch list, and I thought, oh, it's not moving. Why isn't it moving? And I was but the thing is, it did move. It shot up to about 20% up, and it came back a bit. I don't know why, but there's a lot of buying going on there. So you know, just
one thing you mentioned there that I was going to ask the other week actually. The whole game of placings. How does one little private investor, newbie investor, people that aren't in the inner circle, how do we get into placings? Is it possible for us mere mortals to get into placings? How does that work?
Yeah. Well, what you need to do is set up an account with, you know, a sort of boutique investor, you know? So there are lots out there. They're like Optiva Securities, Shard Capital. There's quite a few of them. Yeah, you know, I mean, just look. I mean, I've used Optiva, and I've also got an account with Shard. But yes, but you know.
And then how does it work? They sort of flag up ones that are coming up, or sort of has.
Yes, well, if you know about it, or you can call them, say, like, to take part in that placing, and they'll do it for you, or they may offer it to you if it's their book and they're trying to raise money or part of their book, they have a slice of that.
I'm saying this is a new thing for Steve, I reckon.
Yeah,
we get Steve into placings now.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know I'm not already in the placings? And yeah. I'm placing the placings.
Because we know you don't know anything about stocks and shares.
I know everything about placings.
Okay.
Table mat placings, that's what he's thinking. Table, that's what he's thinking. I like the more placings there in equal order, in line with each other, yes. Listen, it's not always good, it doesn't always pay off. And also, you've got more, you know, flexibility, I feel, with my ISA account, you know, so I can buy what I want. With boutique, you have to call up pretty much and put orders through. So it's a little less. And of course, you know, it's. I just feel...
So you've actually got to speak to people.
Yeah, that's it. You have to talk to humans. I don't know about you, but I hate that.
Mm.
You know,
me too.
I've managed to get my gig down to coming into a 20, you know, a 5-10 yard walk from the back door of my house into my office, and I talk to people online only, you know? That's how I've got it down. It's taken me years to evolve into that space where I meet no one all week, but I do chat to people all around the world, generally CEOs, you two on the weekend, and also the wife sometimes and the kids, you know? And
and the rabbit.
The rabbit's dead.
No rabbit.
It's dead, Pete. Thanks for bringing that back up.
Oh, sorry. I thought you got a replacement rabbit.
Are you kidding me?
Anyway, sorry, I'm going off topic here a bit.
So there is that issue where you have to talk to someone. There are people still fans of that. I'm not a huge fan. Genuinely, I don't like going out in crowds. And I've basically managed to get a job now where, you know, I work and I enjoy not having to meet people, you know?
I think this is getting into a sort of counselling session. But no, I agree, yes. I know.
I think it's age, though. I think as you get older, you feel less and less I do this. But to be honest, though, what I quite like about, I've spoken to Optiv quite a bit. I know a few of the guys there. And it's always nice to chat to them because you find these, in the bigger places, like I'm Barclays Stockbroker, there are people that are just trained to work in the stockbrokers, you know? They're trained to work the systems and know the jargon a little bit. They haven't got, they're not keen on stocks and shares, you know? They haven't got an interest in it, basically. They just know what they're allowed to do, you know? So when I call up Optiv, I know a couple of guys there, we do have a chin wag about stocks, which is what I like, you know? So is that, for someone like Steve, you know, Steve has no interest in stocks. He just wants to make money.
But that's what I'm thinking is we record the phone call that Steve has with one of these places.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you should do that.
I'm not sure how long this phone call would last, though.
Yeah,
it's kind of like back in Bronco with phone calls, isn't it? How long before she hangs up on me?
Yeah,
it realizes.
And it would be, Steve, you can't buy £5.60 worth of that stock. Oh, okay. Because the dealing costs would be a lot higher than that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right, sweetie, shoot me up. I want some of that placing.
Yeah.
Come on. Yes.
Just call them every day, Steve. Got any placings going on? Any placings? No, not today. Okay, I'll give you a call tomorrow. Any placings going on? It's Steve again. Any placings?
I've got a placing I want to sell.
Yeah. I don't want to sell my placings. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, well, that's interesting. I have a question.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I was going to raise a point that we raised the other week. It's almost a gloat, actually. So the importance of stop losses, bearing in mind PXOG this week.
Yeah.
And that was shocking. They obviously turned out to be a duster, as they say. Oil well.
Yeah.
It's not good. But the other week I was saying I'd had a stop loss in on PXOG and it had tripped and sold out. And okay, it could then shoot back up and would have made lots more, but at least I banked my profit. So that was good. If I hadn't had that, this week it would have just plummeted out of the sky and I'd have lost a lot of profit.
You
were quite scathing the other week about... Oh,
I wasn't scathing. I wouldn't use the word scathing. I think scathing's over the top. What I said was... Get in early on stocks that have, you know, potential like spudding and all that when they're going for a drill. But all companies pretty much rise on the expectation of a drill. And normally on small stocks, if you valued it and bought it at the right time, you could normally double, you know. And what I do is sell half. That's my security there.
So I de-risked, that's cool. But then, and then it kept going up a bit, but I put then a stop loss in at about my double price. So that... And then it did drop down, and that tripped, and it was okay, great, that sold. and banked my profit.
Did a good thing there. I sold my final bit there, so I made a bit of money, not a lot. I would have made more. And do you know what? I think I've noticed it twice now. It's funny how things happen in the market. It's not funny at all, but there was a lot of volatility the day before that. There's a price extension twice on it, which means it was quite volatile, pretty much. That's basic terms. But if I'd put a stop loss in, say, the day before, it would have tripped it out probably where I thought we should. And so I probably would have made a bit more, So I think you're right. If you've made a healthy chunk and you look on the chart and say, if it goes below that level, it's pretty much going lower, and you can see that.
De-risking is one thing, but that doesn't mean you've actually made any profit. You're just getting your money back from what you put in. To really bank that profit, you've got to get...
But if it keeps rising, of course it does. If it keeps rising, you do. You're assuming it's not going to rise. But I mean, what I'm saying is, if you have a strategy of searching out for a 10-bagger, I mean, the company that has the assets to be a 10-bagger, and in fact, what I mean by that, a good example of that is the blog I wrote last weekend about Horizonte Minerals, HZM ticker, right? That's got the potential to be, a 10-bagger. And there's several reasons why. It's one of the biggest nickel satellite assets in the world. They've now got a market cap of 29 million. So if you do the math on that, right, and their pre-feasibility study shows they can be generating, let me just work this out, 1.3 billion in free cash flow over the 28th mile of life, right? So, and also that's at $12,000 per ton of nickel. Now, most analysts see that going above 15, most of them are about $20,000 per ton. And so they've done a model at $14,000 where they'll generate $1.9 billion, and that's $80 million a year profit. So if you do even a PE of 10 on that, so that's 80 times 10, $800 million, well, caps dollars, so it's about $600 million. So that's, that is more than 10 to 10 bagger there's potential. So when you do research into a company, there's a potential 10 bagger, and it doubles, there's no reason why, if the story hasn't changed, it should come back that massively, And if you look at other things, shareholders there, JP Morgan, massive shareholder, 308 billion market cap company, They hold 8.4% of the company. Glencore holds 6.4% of the company, 41 billion market cap company. Teck Resources, Canada's largest mining company, hold 17.9%. Henderson, global investors, hold 14%. These are companies all positioned here, and they have 9 million in cash from a Horizonte to take them through definitive feasibility studies. It looks good. I think, why would you put a stop loss there, and a bit of volatility may happen, and you'd cut yourself out from a massive upside potential. That's what I'm worried about, because all you can lose in the worst case scenario, the very worst case scenario, is 100% of your money on an investment. Hopefully all your money is in one investment.
Cracking. Sounds like a good lose.
But listen, the potential upside is a lot bigger than that, isn't it?
Yes.
You can do 2, 3, 4, 1,000%. So what I'm saying is, let's say you can even narrow those margins, say. Let's say you only want to lose 50% of the stock, so you put a stop loss in there. But the potential upside is huge, yeah. So obviously you can mess around with the risk-reward ratio. But I say, don't cut yourself out of that potential just because a little dip, Especially if you've already doubled your money and you can't, technically lose any money on it. If the story hasn't changed, you could say Prospect Oil and Gas, was it a potential 10-bagger? Well, I don't know. The assets weren't that huge. They were quite significant for a smaller company, but were they potential 10-bagger? I don't know. But in fact, coming to that, this week's homework was, NPVs, net present value. And Steve, I'll give you the homework of working out net present value. Mm-hmm. What did you come up with? I assume you've been working all week doing your due diligence, cross-referencing, making sure it's all accurate and spot on. So, Steve, what's your definition of how, or not definition from read out, not just reading it, but in your head, how do you understand what net present value means?
Well, it's kind of like the net profit, and it's the current value of the net.
Right, it doesn't make any clear to me.
Well, you know what the net profit is. So it's the present value of that net profit, not like what you think it's going to be or what it was. It's what it currently is.
Where are you reading that from, Steve?
Nowhere. I'm clued up on this kind of stuff.
Right, okay. Peter, what's your definition? I also give you joint homework. Not to confer, though. What did you make of it? What did you do? Did you do your homework?
Oh, absolutely.
Steve obviously hasn't. He's just trying to Google something.
I wrote
something.
It down, to be fair, which is one step for me. It was still written down today when I looked at it.
You wrote the question down?
Yeah.
That's a good start.
I just didn't write an answer
down. So if you went into an exam and you just wrote the question under the question. So I made a start there. See? I wrote the question down.
I thought about it.
Yeah. All right. Peter, what's your definition?
Well, I see it kind of what Steve is sort of saying, but it's the current position of the value of the company. So it's the balance between what's coming into the company and what's going out of the company in cash terms, and that gives it the value. So you can, as of right now, this company is worth XYZ based on, I don't know, is it based on assets as well as cash? But no.
If for example, a lot of mining companies will have a project and they'll take it through studies and they'll do economics, model on it, and they'll always come out with net present values, And so when you get that, it'll show you basically how much that sort of mine is worth. That's the net present value. And it also is discounted back, isn't it, for 8 or 10. And so it's not the market cap of the company, of course, because that mine hadn't started generating any revenue. But they're saying that is what it could be worth, if you pretty much sold it, the net present value of that, if you sold for that,
Okay.
It's the present value, net of everything. It's the present value of that basic thing.
Yes, so, the balance of everything. Right.
Okay. And then that's why they go through these studies, like pre-feasibility study, or pre-economic assessment, because you've got to have something to show to any investor of what, not only what it's worth at the moment, what it's capable of generating, and that's when investors come in. It's like anything. You can't just say, oh, I've got a lot of gold over there. It's worth loads. Do you fancy investing? They would say, how much you got? Oh, a tump load of gold over there. Massive. Have you seen it? Just been scratching around the ground there. It's shiny stuff, loads of it. How much? Oh, yeah, I'll invest in that. How much do you think it's worth? Worth billions, mate. Billions. Go on, then. I'll give you $1 million for it.
I'll have some.
Yeah, I'll have some. Give me 10% for a mil. You're done. 10%. Anyone else? Tump of it over there. Tumps of it. I can't carry it. It's massive. Yeah, so you've got to go through some kind of formal process, And also, when they have these things like joint compliance, or there's certain standards, you can't just, have Steve, scratching around the ground, thinking, looking at gold, biting it and saying, that's worth about 50 pence, and there's about 20,000 of those there. There's got to be a standard at which you operate to, and that's why you often see, joke or N4 as a number, another one is, So also, when you look at things... look at it. If an asset is JORC compliant, or what's the other standard? I can't think what it was. Hang on. I know Asia Met have it. Asia Met Resources. So there's certain standards, and that brings us to another interesting point. Actually, it's NI 43-101 compliant mineral resource. So it's two kinds of standards there, and I don't know which standard. They're both standard, pretty much. But having said that. Ironically, itself, they both can't be standard, but I think they say the same kind of thing. But do you know what? I had a little investment recently. That's horizontal minerals. It's almost like Pucker, Kosher. It's ready to go. They're going to be mining that late 2019. The nickel reserve resource there, and hopefully the nickel price will be going up. Now, another one I invested in this week. There's a lot of noise about it, and it was in URU Metals. Now, they haven't got a JORC compliant or NI 43-101 compliant mineral resource there, but they have got a massive asset. Now, their asset is, they're saying, the 12th biggest nickel asset in the world in their pre-economic feasibility study did, and their market cap is literally 5 million, And there's also a major shareholder coming in who's helped have almost a 20 bagger on the recent company he owns. So it's interesting to look at. I was looking at the interest there, and I bought some. Just below 6.3 or something like that, and it's already gone up. But I mean, it's a massive asset. You look at that, they are working it up into some kind of JORC compliant resource, and they reckon it'll be a 10th in the world biggest nickel asset. And if that's the case, they've also got other assets. If that's the case, that's a phenomenal asset to have for a company, and they only own it for a company that's sub 5 million market cap, They're just in a placing, so they've got cash as well. They've got about £900,000. That's nowhere near enough to work it through definitive feasibility, but they can prove the resource up to get the standard, compliancy on it. And I think that's amazing, So that's why I had a little punt on that as well. And that's the thing. Companies, you get exploration companies, may in no way be intending to take their asset through to production. You know, like Horizonte are. That's what they're going to do. Take it through to build a mine, start producing, start selling it. Now, you get small exploration companies. It's too much work to actually do that. You know, actually get it producing. They have to build a massive mine, take a lot of money, have a lot of investment in there. So what they do is prove up the asset to the point where they say, look, this is the net present value of this, it's capable of generating this, and then they sell it off, or sell a major part of it, or get a farming partner to do the work, and they have just a shareholding. So there's different ways that people work this out, you know, and it'd be interesting to see where URU goes, but what is known about them is that they are a massive asset. Look at my assets.
Right, good. Wow, that was...
So that's another one I bought. I bought URU. But you know what, I got to the stage where on Friday I bought quite a few stuff. I forgot what I bought. And I went to put them on my watch list. I thought, what did I buy just then? No, I watched it.
Setting a good example to all the listeners there.
No, so what I did is they're on my watch list. I don't know if you knew this. I don't know if this is on your version yet, but on the Vox Markets app, you can have multiple watch lists now, right?
Yes.
And so I wanted to flick over from my watch to my owned, and I didn't know what it was. I think, what did I buy? I was just getting carried away because I can see good news coming out, and I thought, I've got to get in there. And you know, and these kind of punts very rarely pay out for me, you know. And so it's you know, it's good to do a lot of research. But luckily, I think when you're dealing with stock shares every day and talk to people, you know, or stock shares, you know a bit of general information about them. And then just go crazy, you know. But they're not massive holdings, just little punts to keep it interesting, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And a good little punt, which I was given a little tip on this week, is although I know it's not in the what's it called, the British one, the FTSE 100. You know, when it's in
Steve, you've only given us two tips in your lifetime, right? They've both been listed abroad. I mean,
in
it's
all
not,
fairness, but... that last one came up quite nicely, didn't it?
What was it then?
Steve, no, hold on. See, how long have you been doing this podcast? And you've just said, you know, the British one. What's it called?
The British one. Yeah.
You should call up your broker, stock. Steve. Excuse me, I want to buy some shares. Not on the British one. It's on the British. What's that other one? The other one. It's not that one.
You mean the London Stock Exchange?
That's the one.
No, not the British one. The other one. The other one you got. What other one you got there?
So, anyway, I noticed in euros.
Hang on. Hang on, Steve. Steve's tip of the year.
Chrysler and Fiat, because they're just going through the emissions scandal and their price has massively just dropped off the chart.
Who gave you this tip?
Well, no, I read it in the news.
Okay.
Chrysler.
Okay. Why is that? Yeah. Okay. Fiat. Look at Volkswagen.
They've been building over the last couple of years, and they've literally just like fallen off a cliff because news has come out like the same as what happened with Volkswagen, wasn't it? Yeah.
Chrysler. Yeah.
Are you thinking this for our experiment? Maybe might see a quick 10% return.
Potentially, yeah. I don't know. I haven't properly looked into it. I only heard about it.
No. Okay. That's a good idea,
then. Do you know what Steve says? I haven't properly looked into it. To be honest, that didn't surprise me at all, Steve. You're not looking at anything. All you've heard in the news. But we got some Fiat Chrysler Automotives, right? FCAU. What are they on there? 1st of July. 1st of April. Let's zoom out. I'm trying to get the chart here. It's not at a particular low, though, Steve, is it?
No.
You don't know the share price, Steve. You've not even looked at it. Where did you get this tip from, Steve? Well, you just saw it in the news and thought, oh, that's something to buy. They're going for an emission scandal. I'm going to buy them. Regardless of sales, with big companies, Steve.
This might be the start of a really big scandal.
I'm bringing you the information for you to then analyse it.
Right.
Yeah.
But this might be the start of a really bad scandal that might go on for months, and that share price might continue to go down for another who knows how much, you know. So
it's dropped. What do you mean it hasn't gone that much? It dropped like a whole euro.
A whole euro. Well, in 1 year, so look. No, in 1 year, right? Listen, previous close $11. I think it's $11, isn't it? What are you, euros? Fiat, yeah. So it was 11. It's not last time last year, Steve. It's at 6. Now it's at 9.95. So it's gone up. It's not like the 52-week range is from 5.45 to 11.32. It's now at 9.95. So it's hardly dropped a lot, is it?
Well, it's dropped by 16% over the last 2 days.
From 11 to 9.95.
That's not too bad, is it? I don't know.
Well, buy it, Steve. Buy it.
Yeah.
Let's see how you get on with it.
Do some research. Yeah, but there's potentially, Steve, of course, but there's probably lots of different companies out there that might be a better.
In fact, talking about that, listen, are we going to make a go on our experiment? Let's have a look. So, what do you fancy? IGG, have they come back yet? I'm looking for a pullback. They're at 5.30, they don't have a pull. I'm hoping they'll come out and pull back down about £5 odd, or maybe a bit less. So we've got IGG, what do you think of next? Anyone?
Well, I mean, bad results the other week, wasn't it? Or this week, was it?
That's going to be a long burner, surely.
Oh, is it?
A long burner.
Well, I like the fact that Steve's now actually taking an interest. This is good.
Well, Steve, do you mean a slow burner or a long burner? What's a long burner?
It's the same as a slow burner.
It takes longer. Right.
It's not going to be a long burner, that one. Well, I'm getting in that. Just say that, Steve. I want to get in that because it's a long burner. Yeah, but do you know what? If you look at their share price in a year, it's halved in price, down to now £40, 35 pence. They pay a dividend above 4%. Is it that bad? Are they going to lose half their sales compared to last year? I don't know if they will they? That means a lot of competition. I'm not a champion of Next. What else is there? Well, IGG Next. Anything else? Is anything else you caught your attention this week, guys?
Well, only because I love it, because I'm a long time holder. Lloyd's has done a good recovery, but wouldn't be a good one for another 10% maybe now. It's just reassuring to see it come back after its little Brexit hit.
Yeah.
But whether it's got another 10% to go, might have.
Yeah. See, you see what we should have bought that? Is it after Brexit, so it dipped down to, say, 47 pence.
Yeah, 47.
They went back up to about 56 pence, then retested that 50 pence level. You see, and that's it. You can sort of see a higher look. That's a higher low there from the original Brexit sort of dip down. And then that should go up there. In fact, and then double, look at it, went from 50 pence.
Yes.
Up to 60 pence. So you think then it's on its way, didn't you? On its way now. It comes back down, retest 50 pence again. Then that's where you think, right, there we are. If it doesn't go below 50, we're in here. Yeah. And then we could have gone up to from 50, hopefully up 51 up to 66 pence. And that'd be a nice little...
It would have been a nice 20, 25%. Yeah.
We didn't do it, did we?
No.
Hey.
No, but I was in there, but I didn't buy any more, no.
I've got to say, though, at the moment, the FTSE, is breaking records. 12 days on the bounce of rising, breaking a record, so 7,300, I mean. So it's probably not a good time. It's a bit hot. Wait for a pullback, I'd say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's go back to that Prospect Oil and Gas there. We've had two in the last couple of weeks now, Canadian Overseas Petroleum and Prospect Oil and Gas, have both come up with dusters. Now, those are two poor exploration play companies, so you've got to be aware of that when you invest in oil and gas, thinking, is this just exploration, is this one shot at it and that's it, and that, pretty much they were pretty much, there's Canadian Overseas Petroleum had Nigerian assets, but they were poor explorations. So when you're looking at oil and gas, it's very risky, especially on AIM, but you don't have to go for that. Like I said, there's two stocks I'm in at the moment, Angus Energy and Upland Resources. They both have both sides to that, they do have a sort of a near-term high chance of success, cash-generative asset, plus they're going to be going for, more risky but game-changing exploration. So always look, and of course, again, mining companies different. They, it's good to go for a company that has the resource in the ground. They know it and they're proving it up. For example, Asian Met, there's no chance of not finding copper there. They found lots of copper, and they're just proving out with drills, little drill testing, how big that resource is, the grade of the copper, So there's different kinds of... So mining companies, when they've got a resource of that, are less risky than, oil companies. But, of course, there's less chance of a massive re-rating on a discovery. Like what happened with 18 Energy, for example. That was a pure exploration play. It's played off, and it went through the ceiling, So you've got a massive upside potential, but also the risk-reward thing... Big risk, big reward, but if you want to level out the, like I said, Upland playing both sides of the coin, and Angus, they've both got the, relatively safe production, and then they've got the exploration play as well, so that's a good thing. I'm liking the moves on copper at the moment, and do you know what, I reread a couple of reports on copper.
The what copper?
Copper price, right? And now,
Because it's a metal, Steve.
I thought you said the Muslim copper. I was like, what?
I'm liking the price on the Muslim copper. Have you not seen that? It's very popular, the Muslim copper. Yeah. It's a copper, essentially. You know, AsiaMet did a sort of pre-economic study, or pre-economic assessment, at a copper price a bit higher than it is now, 325, you know? People say, why are you doing that? This is one that's bumping on the bottom. Because that's where estimates are, or above that, actually, you know, when they start producing copper, you know? It's going to be higher than that. But if you look at it and do some reading, there's always arguments about supply and demand, and no one really knows accurately how much supply there is or how much demand there is. They can sort of, you know, guess, because there are loads of different production places around the world. Supply changes all the time. Two things we do know, you know, copper is used a lot in renewables, electric cars, all mobile phone kind of things, anything that needs its wires, basically, you know, copper is used a lot. Secondly, and no one can argue with this, and everyone agrees with this, copper grades are getting worse. That means you have to dig down further to get decent copper grades. The more you have to dig down, the cost of producing that copper goes up. Now, AsiaMet are one of the lowest producers in you know, pretty much anywhere at the moment. I mean, and if you look at the low cost of producing, they can be profitable now almost, you know? So it's a good place. And you should always look at that. Whenever you're going for a mining company, how low are their costs? Because that counts, because the grades mean a lot, you know? And as time goes on, copper grading is coming down, so there's less percentage of copper in the mineral they have to extract. They have to, you know, process that stuff. Takes more time. Lots of tons to get 1% of copper, you know, and so it's worth looking at that. So that's a good thing. And I think AsiaMet, you know, still keep an eye. It's been quiet for a while, but I think keep an eye on it. I think it's news we come up with drilling results, and of course they've got the cash now to go through the feasibility study, which will prove up the resource even more, extend the life of the mine. I think it's one to look out for. So keep an eye. Put it on your watch list, yeah? This is not investment advice, Steve. This is not, you know, in any way an incitement for you to put your hand in your pocket or press the buy button. I'm just saying, do some research on that. Steve, have you been for a, before we go, just on your personal life, have you been for a personal trainer session?
I have, yeah.
Any good?
Yeah, it's all right. It wasn't too beasting. So I've got a little plan now to kind of get myself back into shape.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
What was it with? A man or a lady?
Yeah, I was with a lady. It's my cousin, actually.
Oh, I see.
That's legal.
To have a personal training session with your cousin is perfectly legal. Oh, I did check it out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What does she do to you?
She gave me a little plan of things to do. Warm-ups and stuff.
What like?
Well, she's giving me warm-ups, stretches, like
warm-ups.
Yeah.
That's not very good. It's warm-ups.
Well, no, because I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the gym at the moment. I've just fallen out of it a bit, so I just need someone to kind of give me a bit of a plan of what I want.
Warm yourself up, Steve. Warm yourself up. Rub your body.
A few things like stretching before you go into the gym, like you know, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to warm up then stretch. So I was doing that wrong. So
how are you warming up? You've just got lots of coats there and lots of trousers.
That's right.
So just put them on, Steve. So Steve, like a big Michelin man, just put more on. You have some warm. How do you warm up without
pie?
Yeah. How do you warm up without stretching?
You can jump on what I'm doing is the bike. Just do bike really slow and just slowly warm up for about 5 minutes, and then your muscles are slightly warmed up, and then you can stretch them. If you stretch them when you're cold, they'll damage, apparently.
That is absolute nonsense. Is she charging you for this?
Yes.
She's just saying, just get on the bike, Steve, for 5 minutes, warm up. She's there on Facebook. You're warm, Steve. All right, just some stretching then. And then stretching. Right, that's it. First one. How you feeling? All right, actually, yeah. Warm and feel stretchy. Cool. Give us in, buddy. See you next week. Give some more stretching and warming up in. Bring some more cardigans. We'll warm you up even more. All right. Well, I'm glad it's going well, Steve. Next year, you'll be ripped, no doubt. No doubt. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's not the ultimate plan, right?
Okay.
Any ideas of homework for next week, guys?
Should we just leave it this week?
Oh yeah, because you put so much work in last week, didn't you? Yeah.
What about spelling?
Yes. Yeah. Steve, I want you to pick a stock we can go into. All right. And
hang on, let me write it down.
Yeah, let me have a look here. So IG next. What do you reckon? IG next or name a stock? Name a big stock. Just not small cap. Like,
Centrica.
FTSE 4s. Let's have a look. So Cobham, Capita Group, EasyJet, IGG, Marks. Up to you, Steve, yeah? Steve, you're going to make the call. We're going to invest on your tip next week. That's
No, don't do that, because yes. It'll be wrong. You know what I'm like with gambling? I'm terrible.
Well,
like,
don't worry.
I suggest we'll lose.
We're going to go for
it's
it.
Investing, not gambling.
Yes, right, exactly.
I'm just saying, you know what it's like when I pick things, it never comes out, does it?
Well, yeah. Do me a favor, Steve. Look in the next, right? Just look into, do a bit of reading.
I need some clothes, actually.
No, do some field research, and also just read their last RNS on the results, trading update and all that stuff, whatever, all the final results. Just read up on it and just get the general feel and what you think.
Okay.
You know?
Have now, you not already done this, though?
No, take into account that they've fallen by over 50% in the last year, right?
Okay.
So look at what they're saying. And highlight a couple of things, saying, I like this, I like that. What do you think? You know, just we'll go off that. Completely okay. On your, we'll do it, yeah? We'll do that, yeah? Just look at next. Do some reading, Steve. Pete, do the same, yeah? And see what you think. Let's have two opinions here on next, yeah?
I might check at Argos as well.
Okay, do what you want, Steve. Your shopping habits, I'm not interested in. Just make sure you get an opinion on next. Because
yeah.
you can invest in Argos indirectly, I suppose. But next, yeah? Your opinions, both of you, on next for next week, yeah?
Right, got it.
By the way, Steve, ticker is NXT, all right?
NXT. Okay, cool.
You come back next week. So I've written down in front of me what you said. Didn't do any research. Cheers, thanks.
Yeah. All right. They sell clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Next directory. Have a nice weekend. Speak next week.
All right, nice one. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.